Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. This is Carol Knyer, Way Memorial Community Health Manager. I want to thank you for joining me today. So on today's show, my guest is Joseph Lombarski. I got it right, correct?
You got it right, yes.
And Joseph works for the Way Memorial Behavioral Health Services in Honesdale. And I'm so happy to have you on the show today.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Way Memorial Behavioral Health Services has been around for a while. I wanted to have someone on the show, so this is a great opportunity to kind of, let our listeners know about the services through Way Memorial Behavioral Health Services, but also to tell them a little bit about you and your background. So you are a PMHNP. So do you want to tell our listeners what that stands for? Yeah. What that's all about?
Yes, absolutely. So the abbreviation is pretty long, and so is the full name. So it's Psychiatric Mental Health Nurse Practitioner.
And so, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you, became, that specialty as a nurse practitioner?
Sure. Yeah. So I started college back in 2012, and while I was attracted to psychology and therapy, it wasn't my to go going further into it. I started getting more interested in the psychiatric medication aspect of helping people with their diseases. So I switched from psychology undergrad to a nursing undergrad, and I started working at First Hospital. First Hospital is in Kingston, Pennsylvania, right across the waters from Wilkes-Barre there. It's an inpatient psychiatric hospital, so for acute stays for patients that need psychiatric care, closely monitored.
Well, great. And thank you for coming to Way Memorial, because, it sounds like with your background, you have a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience to help individuals with in our area.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Mental health is needed everywhere. Absolutely.
Right. And we will get to that question, about mental health and mental health services. But what is the difference between, your PMHNP and the psychiatrist?
Sure. Yeah. So between the two specialties, right, we both assess, we both diagnose, we both prescribe medications for mental health clients. The schooling is where it differs a lot. Psychiatrists go to medical school, and they do a residency afterwards for about 4 years, depending on where you go. NPs, they obtain their master's degree, and they specialize in a certain nurse practitioner program. My specialty was psychiatry. Now, it's going to vary depending on what state you're in. We'll stick with Pennsylvania, but psychiatrists and psychiatric NPs, like I said, we both prescribe medications. We both do a little bit of therapy along with the two, but the primary thing's medication for our clients. So basically, there's a collaborative agreement, and that's basically a contract where the physician supervises over the NP. And by supervising, I mean, the most common way is chart reviewing clients that the NP sees. That's the most common one.
Right. Okay. Oh, that's interesting. And it's probably very similar when you have, a nurse practitioner in a primary care office, right? Mm-hmm. You have a physician that overlooks and has that contract and works very closely
exactly.
with them.
Exactly.
Which is really, it is important. And the more eyes, the better sometimes, right?
Exactly.
Looking over everything.
Yeah.
Besides the mental health providers, which prescribe the medication along with therapy, you also work closely with other individuals within your department, like social workers, like licensed therapists, correct?
Oh, of course. Yeah. So our facility is always up to date on the latest research. So we're always collaborating between prescribers and therapists to give the best care route for our patients, right? So a lot of research shows that combining psychotherapy alongside with medication gets the best results for patients.
Right. So again, so if someone was to come see you, you would definitely do the medical or the medication management part, some therapy, but they may also see one of the therapists.
Yes. They may benefit from that. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. If they want therapy, absolutely.
Right. That's wonderful to know. In the last 2 years, the world, besides our community, we've all been hit by COVID very bad.
Yes.
Are you seeing more individuals with mental health issues or related needs in the community.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, so I started at Wayne Memorial mid-2021. I would say about half my patients can contribute COVID-19 to either exacerbating their symptoms of mental health issues or the direct cause of their mental health disorders. So you have to think, right? So prolonged social disconnection could cause an increase in risk of depression, suicidal thoughts, or even risk of early mortality.
Mm-hmm. Right. So all of that, that someone may have had an underlying condition where they may have managed it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, like you said, with that social isolation, it just kind of puts them over where they need medical attention. They need that professional help. Absolutely. And that's where you come in and your team.
Yes.
Because it's definitely a team over there.
Oh, that's what it is. Exactly. You got it.
So for anyone just listening, I have Joseph Yumbarski. He is from Wayne Memorial Behavioral Health Services in Honesdale. Is there a phone number that someone can call in case if they're just listening and they have to kind of step off? They can get more information?
Oh, yes. And the phone number is 570-253-8219.
Right. And in order to see one of the providers at Behavioral Health, do they need like a referral from the physician or will your office work with them?
No, our office will work with you. We don't need a referral. You can just call right up.
Okay, that's wonderful to know. Mm-hmm. So what conditions do you help individuals with?
Oh, so I see quite the variety of patients, right? So I see the most common conditions that we see are anxiety disorders, depression, ADHD, but I see everything from bipolar disorder to eating disorders or substance abuse like opioid addiction or alcoholism. At times I do get some psychotic disorders like schizophrenia too. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And like, you know, some of the, disorders that you were talking about, like for example, individuals with substance abuse disorders, you have an MAT program, right? Yes. A medical assistant treatment program.
Yes.
That
yes.
people can get into.
Yes, we do. And we're always up to date on that. Dr. Campbell likes pushing out that research and giving the best for our patients. So mm-hmm. it's a really big and helpful need in the area. So it definitely helps.
Right. And that's one thing I will, you know, kind of piggyback on what you said, the care, the therapy from medication onto, you know, the verbal therapy with like a social worker, mm-hmm. it's all clinically proven. It's evidence-based
information. Which is really and that's all that we use, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. And right now, you know, another reason why is you are accepting new patients, which, you know, we haven't always had that opportunity because when you don't have enough providers, you can't provide the service.
Exactly.
And now we have a good amount of providers that can provide that medication therapy as long with some of, you know, the other therapies involved with that. So what ages do you work with and what ages, you know, can other of the providers like some of the psychiatrists see?
Yeah. So I start seeing patients at 18 years old, but it's just not 18. I see them through their whole entire lifespan, right? So I have patients even in their mid to late 80s as well at the facility. But we do see patients under the age of 18 too, like with different prescribers. Dr. Gupta does see a lot of children and adolescents.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then also Dr. Campbell also that works at your at Wayne Memorial Behavioral Health Services too, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they both have been there for quite a while. Some time. Yeah. Uh-huh.
They know their stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm hoping, and I do know there are people out there listening today. How can someone know if they need mental health services? Are there warning signs or clues that may say, you know, I need to give you a call?
Yeah, so sometimes it's kind of hard to tell if you don't know what you're looking for. So these are just some underlying symptoms that could be part of a mental disorder, right? So the first one is sleeping problems, right? Sleeping too little, sleeping too much, recurrent nightmares. Now, if you have any issues with your appetite at all, eating too little, eating too much, if there's a big change in that, that may be underlying symptoms. Anger and violent outbursts. Loss of interest in things you once loved doing, unable to focus. And if you're using drugs and alcohol to cope with these symptoms, that may also be an underlying symptom for diagnoses.
Right. And, you know, I'm sure you would agree with the statement that when someone recognizes any one of these conditions, it's important not to let it prolong, not to keep going on with those feelings or those actions, because the quicker you make a treatment, the quicker you'll recover and get help, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And that I think that's important for people to know. Now, if someone does come and see you, it may be short term or it may be long term, right? Depending on what they need. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
And you would determine that during your sessions?
Yes, during the initial evaluation and following up sessions afterwards, too, to kind of figure out what exactly is happening and what our best approaches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. So, you know, we still have some time left. Do you have any suggestions, health tips for individuals who are struggling with mental health?
Absolutely. So the first thing I would say to do is try to find coping skills, okay? And what coping skills are, if you don't know exactly what they are, it's what we can do in the moment that when we're feeling lousy, it helps us turn down the volume on our emotions and avoid getting overwhelmed. Some coping skills can be like journaling, meditation, or some deep breathing exercises, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes those don't work to the full benefit that we need them, okay? So seek help, right? So mental health had the stigma for so many decades, and we're finally seeing a break within the past 5 years or so. And if you're in a mental health crisis situation where you feel like you have suicidal ideations or plan to go through with it, and you don't want to live anymore, go to your nearest emergency department or call 911. You're not in this alone. Let us help you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I'm so glad that you mentioned the stigma part.
Hmm.
Because I feel that we are moving forward with that.
Absolutely.
That you know, with the information out there, groups to help, crisis hotlines to help, it is so important to let individuals know first they shouldn't feel alone, correct?
Correct.
That there is help out there.
Yes.
And there should not be a stigma to ask for help.
No.
And that, you know, individuals with mental health issues, I think sometimes people feel that they need to hide them, and they really shouldn't, because people can learn from each other also.
Exactly, exactly. Suppressing it is not going to help. We need to be more open to it and talk about it.
Right. And do you also see individuals out there that make, again, I'm not asking for any PHI or names or anything like that, but I'm sure you see individuals within the practice that work full time, that have families, that have, you know, a normal life, but may have high anxiety and may need help.
Of course, of course. And you may not think that it's that common, but it's very common. Mm-hmm. It's very common. We just don't think it is because no one talks about it.
Right. And I think that's what's really important, to get that message out there that, you know, Way Memorial Behavioral Health services are out there to help individuals, to help them, you know, cope with whatever mental health illness they're dealing with, correct?
Absolutely.
Right. And for those of you that may have not caught on, the phone number, if you needed to call, would be 570-253-8219. Any last comments, Joseph, for our audience and our listeners today?
No, just reiterating what I said, just you're not alone in this fight. We're here to help you. We'll get you the help that you need.
Right, right. And I know that, you know, in one of my roles as community health manager, I'm involved in many organizations like NSPI, the mm-hmm. Northeast Suicide Prevention Initiative Group. We have a Facebook page, and we're just kind of, you know, redoing that and sharing the national suicide number on that and the text line.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone needs help, you know, that crisis is there. But for you and the services you provide, definitely long-term, you know, assistance and help for these individuals.
Absolutely. Yes. You couldn't have said it better.
Thank you. And again, Joseph, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks
really
for
appreciate
having
it.
Me.
Again, this is Carol Kinnear, Way Memorial Community Health Manager. If you have any questions for today's show or previous shows, you can just give me a call at 570-253-8422. And if I'm not there, please leave your name and number. Have a great day, and thank you for listening.